Hi, Bomb Squad. This is Carrie Diamond, host of Radio Cherry Bomb and editor-in-chief of Cherry Bomb Magazine. Welcome to our new mini-series, Follow the Leader. These days, everyone is hungry for more advice, especially about being an entrepreneur or finding smarter ways to run a business. For this series, we're talking to four women at different stages of their careers about how they handle key aspects of their business. For this, our final episode, we're talking about building a business to last, and in turn, building a legacy, with Trinez Woods Black, the Vice President of Communications for the historic Sylvia's Restaurant in Harlem. Trinez is the granddaughter of Sylvia Woods, who, against great odds, opened the restaurant in 1962. It's an iconic institution, and we're talking with Trinez about how this family business has evolved, yet stayed the same over its 57-year history. Let's thank Uber Eats for supporting this series. Here's my interview with Trinez Woods Black. So Sylvia's is a family business.
It is.
So even though you have a specific title, I'm guessing that doesn't really encompass everything you do. So tell us what you do for Sylvia's.
So for Sylvia's, I do everything that allows guests to interact with the brand outside of the restaurant. So I manage all of our community relations. In addition to sitting on the board of NYC and Company, I sit on four other boards. Yeah, I think I'm at five. And our government relations, our public relations, our media relations, interviews like today, as well as creating different platforms that allow the brand to just interact with folks outside of the restaurant, whether it's like our catering or special events or hosting series like Cornbread and Conversations, where it's like a culinary cultural experience to give various artists platforms. So it's quite a bit, down to picking out paint colors.
Somebody has to do that, right? So I'm hoping that everyone in our audience knows what Sylvia's is.
I hope so.
But for the maybe one or two people out there who haven't heard of Sylvia's,
yes,
tell us how you describe what Sylvia's is all about.
Okay, so Sylvia's Restaurant is known as the Queen of Soul Food. It was founded back in 1962. Really great story. The American culinary story. Checks a lot of boxes.
Yeah. We'll go into the full story because it's really a remarkable story and it's all about women.
It's all about women. I mean, literally, the restaurant is where you want to go to interface with the African-American culture, that culture that came up from South Carolina and the recipes that came along with it and landed in this great village of Harlem. And it just creates this sense of transport back to the South without leaving Harlem.
What drew Sylvia to Harlem?
My grandmother, like a lot of other folks, wanted to leave the South for more job opportunity. And Harlem was just the Mecca of Black culture. It was a place where a lot of Southerners, especially African-American Southerners, felt comfortable and had made homes there. So when she set her sights on New York, she knew that it had to be Harlem, and it ended up being 131st Street, a couple of blocks from what's now Sylvia Woods Way.
And Sylvia's mom, your great-grandmother,
yes,
Julia,
yeah,
right? She owned her own farm, didn't she?
Yeah, yeah. We're heading to the farm in a couple of days.
It's still in the family?
It's still in the family.
That's remarkable because she had to mortgage it,
yeah,
to help pay for the restaurant, right?
Exactly.
Can you tell us that story?
So when my grandmother, it was about maybe her 15th or 16th year working at Johnson's Luncheonette, which was like a 35-seat luncheonette owned by Mr. Johnson, who had several businesses throughout Harlem. He wanted to open another business venture, and he offered the restaurant to my grandmother. She thought he was crazy. She really thought it was a joke. She said, I'm a woman of color, nonetheless. It's like the early 60s. Where do you think I'm getting this money from? You pay my salary. He said, listen, your mom has that farm in South Carolina, and I'm sure it has enough value in it. And immediately, my grandmother, she said that her heart just kind of sunk because she knew that that was everything that my family had worked for. And at that point, it was passed down through inheritance. And she was very nervous, but she went ahead and she asked her mom. And without hesitation, like most moms do, she went and she took the deed to a family, a wealthy family in the community, and said, hey. He gave her the money, which, by the way, was not enough to purchase the restaurant. But Mr. Johnson, you know, he accepted. He accepted the offer. And that was back in 62, August 1st. Johnson's Luncheonette became Sylvia's Restaurant.
I love that she named it after herself.
Yes.
Good for her.
Very powerful. I was like, you go, girl.
So we have you here today to talk about legacy and how to have a business for the long term.
Yeah.
You know, I know a lot of people starting out can't even imagine. I mean, how Sylvia's has been in business. I'm bad at math. So you opened in 1962.
57.
57 years.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people can't even imagine having one location that's thriving for that long.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to say in one sentence what the secret is, but let's start to talk about that. What's been the secret?
Authenticity. Authenticity and relationship with community. You know, those things have been, those principles, I should say, have been passed down via each generation of my family. Community in South Carolina built our farm in my great-grandmother's midwife business. And because of that land, as I said, my grandmother was able to purchase the restaurant and made it a place for all of those who were migrating up north to come and experience a hug from their mother. That's what the restaurant is. And it became very quickly a place where people felt that they weren't even eating at a restaurant. They felt that they were at home. You know, wonderful conversations would be had. Serious meetings, you know, would be had, and still till this day, it's that presence. And having that strong connection to the community and paying attention to what the community needed is what's given us longevity.
Let's drill into the authenticity part that you mentioned, because that's not easy. You've got this, you know, really like living, breathing thing that is your restaurant, and people get very attached to things. This is one thing I've learned having owned a restaurant over the years. People want to come in, and when they order, whether it's, you know, your smothered chicken or whatever their favorite dish is at Sylvia's, they want it to taste exactly the same it was
exactly
the last time they came there and the time before that. So you can't mess with the menu that much.
No. And what we've learned as the decades have gone on is, you know, once you know better, you do better.
What do you mean by that?
What I mean by that is that heart disease in our community, very rampant, diabetes, a lot of things that are associated to our core customer base. And we knew that we needed to do some changes. So we really made our items over a lot healthier as the years have gone on. But we were smart enough, and thankfully we have such a good palate, that we were able to swap out certain ingredients to not compromise the flavor that everyone was accustomed to, but to make it healthy. Like, we started cooking with zero trans fat before it was mandated in New York City. So when the mandate happened, we were able to be spokespeople for that movement because we had been doing it already. Mm-hmm. And my grandmother, she was very, she paid attention a lot. So when customers would come in and they would order double starches and things of that nature, you know, she would be like, okay, you might not want to do that. Not every day, but just keeping those changes. But hands down, Sylvia's will never open its doors without having down-home Southern fried chicken, you know, our world-famous talked about barbecue ribs. Collard greens are a must. They are the vegetable of the South. It's like, oh, yeah, and your vegetable is collard greens. And your meat could switch around, but your vegetable needs to be collard greens. So we have like two options on our collard greens. You have traditional that's cooked with pork, and we have a vegetarian that's completely made with spices. So it's things like that, you know, where we kind of make a compromise. So you have your diehards who want to sit literally in the same seat. They want to sit in the same seat and they want to eat the same meal every time they come. So it's working that balance, and it's worked for us. You know, it's worked. We have added like grilled items. So some of the things that you can get fried or smothered, now you can get them grilled. And we've added like, you know, salmon. And I would say that that probably was the most popular addition that we added to the menu. And people just, they want their Sylvia's. When people come to Sylvia's, they're not calorie counting, you know.
So also in terms of the physical location, so you've obviously expanded the size over the years.
Yeah.
So how do you also change the physical space so that people,
is that a
sensitive one? So that the regulars feel that it's still an authentic, you know, experience from what they knew.
So we have now expanded the restaurant. We started out with 35 seats. We opened our first dining room in the late 80s, which was the Uptown Bar, which is now our Red Room. So that was the first dining room. And then we went to the opposite direction of the counter. It was called the Tropical Room. Now it's called the Carolina Room. And then we went back in the opposite direction. And mind you, while we're doing these expansions, we're purchasing the property.
Yeah, we're going to get to that.
Yeah. I mean,
that's
so then
smart.
The green room. So making sure we just did a little spruce up because we really didn't have a choice. We sprung like a leak. There was something going on with the ceiling. So now the counter looks a bit different. And we were so nervous, you know, we're just like, oh my God, you know, it's the heartbeat and you really don't want to mess with the heartbeat. So what we did was we're like, well, maybe we'll expose the brick, you know? So now the brick is exposed, which is something that I think is unique to Manhattan, unique to Harlem. Kept the counter, of course.
You've also earned the trust of your regulars over the years, though. So
yeah.
I'm sure that they trust you when you've got these tweaks that you have to make.
Oh, not only do they trust us, but they become our partners that are not so silent.
Yeah, tell us about that part.
So they'll let us know, hey, you know, I want you to do X, Y, and Z, or when are you going to put, there was a picture that was on the wall of someone, you know, can you put that picture back? Or, you know, I noticed that you've changed this. Can you? And it just doesn't go to the restaurant. I mean, my customers are like, oh, you look really happy. You've put on a lot of weight, but don't gain any more, okay? I'm like,
it's so funny. When I had my places, I mean, people, and let's be clear, I did not own any places that were world famous like you do. So I know how often I got stopped on the street around the restaurant about everything. So how do you even walk down the street near the restaurant?
It's very funny because my husband, you know, he'll say, you know, what do you want to do? Do you want to, you know, take the joyous route? You know, it's going to take us longer if we walk. You know, I'm only literally 10 blocks away from the restaurant. Or, you know, should we jump on a train or jump on an Uber? And I do enjoy walking down the street. It gives me a really great sense of just how small and how special the Village of Harlem is. So from seeing our regular customers to greeting all of the shop owners along the way, I'm always stopping and having a conversation.
So this goes to what you brought up with community.
Yes.
So you can't just open a restaurant, expect to be there for the long haul if you're not
Absolutely.
A major part of the community. So
absolutely.
Walk us through some of the different things that Sylvia's has done over the year to really be part of the fabric of that neighborhood.
Well, when we started, when my grandmother started the restaurant before I was born, she would get up extra early and she would put on a big pot of like grits and smothered meat. A lot of times smothered chicken. And she would open the doors to the community. So it might have been people who were struggling with drug addiction or homeless for a different reason, mental illness. And she would feed everyone every day first. And I think that's where it kind of started that, you know, Sylvia's wasn't just in business to be a for-profit business, but to really become part of the fabric that is Harlem. So making sure that we not only provided a place for people to celebrate and to be nourished, but for people to be employed. For over 40 years, we were the largest minority employer in Harlem. I mean, for a restaurant to be in that category is just still mind-boggling to me. And the true testimony to the relationship that Sylvia's has with the community could be seen from the Harlem riots, when literally everything was burnt to the left or to the right of the restaurant, except for the restaurant. And what my grandmother did was she went in the kitchen and she cooked everything. She cooked everything and she opened up the doors because the grocery stores were completely torched. You know, everyone was, you know, everyone's hearts was just very, very heavy after King was assassinated. So that relationship has just trickled until this day. We still feed anyone. If you're hungry and you don't have money, you can always go to Sylvia's and you can just say to the cashier, you know, I'm hungry. Can I have something to eat? And we feed people every single day. And we wanted to formalize our giving and also our commitment to education and the importance of education. So when my grandfather passed away in 2001, we decided to start the Sylvia and Herbert Wood Scholarship Foundation. And since then, we've sent over 130 kids to college, and we've awarded over like $475,000 for kids from Harlem and our surrounding communities to be able to go to school. That's the one that gets me choked up every time. You know, it's
that's
just
a lot of people's lives changed.
Yeah. And the kids are amazing. They've all gone on to have wonderful degrees and careers. And what's really beautiful is they have their own community where they mentor the new students that come in. So every year when we select the students, we have an amazing advisory board. My grandmother dubbed them her angels. So the angels, they're combing through applications and reading the essays. And then we get together once we select the recipients, and we have dinner with their family, our family, and some past recipients, and we really get to know each other, and it works. It works. It really helps to make sure that when people have success from the community, that they come back and they don't forget.
Let's thank Uber Eats for supporting Follow the Leader. Hey, Bomb Squad. Savvy food entrepreneurs are as selective about their ingredients as they are about food delivery, which is one of many reasons why they partner with Uber Eats. In addition to the reliable delivery, Uber Eats is a delivery platform that allows users to discover new restaurants, so a smaller business gets reach and awareness benefits. If you're ready to learn more and get started, visit ubereats.com/bombsquad for more information. That's ubereats.com/bombsquad. Let's return to my conversation with Trinez Woods Black of Sylvia's Restaurant. What was Sylvia like as a business person?
Ooh, Sylvia was like a natural born business person. I mean, you talk about just an all around badass is the only thing I can say. I mean, she started her very first business when she was 16, which was a farmhouse hair salon in South Carolina. And then she came to New York, and you know that story. As a business person, she was very frugal. She was very frugal. She did not rent any equipment. She purchased all of her equipment. And she didn't believe in credit. She didn't believe in credit. And she developed these wonderful relationships with all of her vendors. So a lot of our vendors today, they've been with us for several decades, and their businesses have grown from small business to large businesses. And they attribute a lot of that success to the relationship that they had to my grandmother. So she was very, very savvy with finances. She managed her books herself. And she also had an amazing relationship with her family of staff. I mean, we still have women that worked alongside my grandmother that still work at the restaurant today. And I think that sense of family and just respect You know, if you come to the restaurant, you can look to the left or to the right. You're going to see someone with my last name that's working just as hard as our staff family.
But how amazing to have this combination of newcomers, family, and folks who have that institutional knowledge.
Yeah.
I mean, what a combination that is.
It's great, and I really think that's what makes it special. And we try to instill in our, you know, our staff that, hey, you know, you guys are just as much invested into this business as we are. And we want you to stay here as long as you like, and or go on and blaze your own trail, create your own legacy. Whatever it is, just do your best. Understand that you're representing not just the restaurant, not just yourself, but a legacy. And I think when people feel proud about the business that they work for, it just makes it all the sweeter.
So let's talk about real estate.
Yes.
So the family owns real estate.
Yes.
So tell us about the real estate holdings and what that has to do with Sylvia's.
Well, thank God we own our real estate, because I'm sure you've had a couple of our co-board members or other restaurateurs on who, you know, are struggling here in New York, commercial rent taxes, and the list just goes on and on and on. It's pretty scary. A lot of those issues that are crushing our businesses, you know, we've been, you know, we're kind of safe from.
When was the property purchased? Was that under Sylvia?
Yeah. The properties were purchased under my grandmother. The last property that was acquired was, I want to say, I can't remember if my dad and his siblings together purchased that property, but we have a real estate holding company. And so now we have 332, and I guess that would be 334. It's like a lot. And we have 318. Maybe
good
eight.
For you is what I say. And that's why it's called Sylvia Woods Way, right?
Yes, that's why it's called Sylvia Woods Way. And the reason why my grandmother started purchasing the business, we weren't looking to be a real estate family, although we did have and do have an appreciation for the benefit of being a landowner.
Right, well, your great-grandmother
exactly.
owned the farm, yeah.
But we wanted to control the environment. There was a lot happening when the restaurant opened in Harlem, and it wasn't very pretty. So the only way that we could control what was happening is try to gain control literally and shape the type of activity that was going to be taking place to the left and to the right of us. So that's how the real estate came about.
Now, you also haven't overexpanded. Like, there's mm-hmm. not a Sylvia's in every airport,
no.
in every, you know, major city across the country.
Mm-hmm.
Why did you make the decision to just really focus on where you are?
Well, one of the biggest reasons was that my grandmother really did not want to leave Harlem. I mean, let alone leave the restaurant.
But I'm sure you had people come to you with offers of licensing locations.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You probably still do.
Yeah. That's a common occurrence. It's almost daily. We did have a restaurant in Atlanta. And after like some tooth pulling, as my grandmother would say, you know, we were invited by the mayor to open in downtown Atlanta, which would now be considered like an anchor mm-hmm. business to revitalize the neighborhood. So we were there for a couple of years, and Atlanta's hope was that with Sylvia's coming down and some select other businesses, from grocery stores to other beautifications, that things would really take off in that particular area. Well, it didn't happen. But we did have a wonderful run. We also had a licensing arrangement at Kennedy Airport. And that was really awesome. I mean, we got really great write-ups. We were like, our sales were through the roof. We were one of the best performing businesses in that new terminal. And then 9/11 happened. And it just changed the traveler's access.
You're also a little ahead of your time because I feel like restaurant dining wasn't even really a thing back then.
No.
And now it is.
Yeah. Like it's nuts. It's crazy. I mean, we would get calls at the restaurant all the time for people trying to make reservations at the airport. And we're like, no, it's at the airport. You got to get a plane ticket. But some people were just trying to figure out, like, how can I just get to the airport? And there was traffic coming in. And then 9/11 happened and all of the businesses that were there, unfortunately, closed. But during that time, we focused on building our food product company, which was started by my Uncle Van. And with the food products, we just realized that a lot of people just really loved our original sauce, which is a barbecue sauce, but it's not really a barbecue sauce. You know,
explain that.
So the Sylvia Sassy sauce has this really interesting consistency, which is thin. It's not thick like you would find in Texas and other places. It's more of like a vinegar base that you would find in South Carolina, you know, in the Carolinas. You know, we like that vinegar barbecue. It's thin, but depending on the temperature and how you use it, you get that nice little crust. So the firefighters would always come in and want to purchase like gallons, and they would come in like with their gallons or Tupperware. And so my Uncle Van was like, you know what? We need to like really, really sell this. So the original, like our Sassy sauce was the first of our Sylvia's food product line. And let's see, we're like over 23 years.
So how big is the Sylvia's product line today?
Well, today our SKUs have grown to like almost 40, and we've been doing some revamping because we've had everything that you can think of. And of course, with just the way that products are packaged, and again, once you know better, you do better. So there's certain things that are still consistently part of the brand. Like our spices are amazing. So we have a whole lot of spices. We have a fried chicken rub. We have a steak rub. We have a rib rub. We have a lemon pepper that I probably use like every single day. We have a secret seasoning that's completely salt free. So we have like this whole line of spices, coarse black pepper, hot sizzling spice. Then we have our Sylvia's hot sauce, the triple strength hot sauce. And of course our pouches, which are still doing really, really well. We have cornbread pouch. We have a peach cobbler mix. We have an apple crisp, and we had canned vegetables, but we're like, you know, moving away and really paying attention to, you know, what our customer base is looking for.
What's your distribution?
Oh, the fried chicken mix. The fried chicken mix?
How could I forget that?
And the fried fish mix.
What's your distribution?
National. We're nationally distributed in the majority of grocery stores. There's been so many changes on the food product side in grocery stores. Just everyone's just being swallowed up by each other. So that's a really interesting endeavor to like just manage. And so online presence is good. So we're hoping that with this new decade, we're able to bring about, you know, a Sylvia's food product 2.0 that, you know, really just answers some questions and, or I like to say, some cravings for, you know, soul food enthusiasts. And not just soul food. Like, it's become
everybody today.
Yeah, it's become everyone today. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty cool.
Now, you also have cookbooks.
We do. We have two cookbooks. And
did your grandmother write both of them?
Yes. Yes. Not only did my grandmother write both of them, but my entire family got involved with the last cookbook. And we have recipes from like aunts and uncles and cousins and some people that are still not with us. So that was really special for my family to be able to go back to Hemingway, South Carolina, go to the church, and, you know, everyone brought out like their best dishes. And that's how we picked what made it into the book. And it has cool stories that go along with it. You know, my hope is for very soon to be able to create a new cookbook with more recipes as well as stories. We have amazing archives, photos that just detail each decade up until present. And there's been some really cool things that we've created for like our catering menu. Like that's where the flexibility comes in. You know,
yeah, we didn't talk about the catering side of the business yet. So you don't have a lot of locations, but you do have a catering business.
Yes, we do have a catering business. And with the catering business, that's where we're able to really get creative. And we can sit down with the client and figure out what their needs are. And that's, to me, like the most fun. And that's when I can put on a different hat, you know. And I'm like, oh, well, why don't we create, you know, this? I think these flavors might go nicely with that. And so that's, you have that flexibility because, you know, the client has input and you're able to showcase. So that's where you can really get to see a broader sense of the Sylvia's food palette, so to speak.
So you've brought up so many good points for our listeners who maybe have their own business or hoping to open a business one day. So it's authenticity.
Yes.
Community.
Yes.
Are two of the big ones. Not overexpanding.
No.
But expanding in smart ways.
Yes.
So it's not necessarily additional locations, but it's the catering, the product
yes.
line,
yes.
the cookbook. So you can make money by expanding
Absolutely.
In other areas. And then being smart about real estate, which is hard.
So hard. It's so hard because it's literally a separate business. Especially in New York, if you can purchase the land, the building, then go ahead and do it. You know, my hope for the restaurant industry in New York is for us to just, I don't know, women, we just need to get together. Women, we need to get together. We need to start, you know, I want to see more women restaurant groups. That's what we need.
Talk more about that. You're the first one to ever say that on the show.
Yes. So I feel that we've done a bit of a disservice by thinking that, oh, you know, being a what I like to say is like a solopreneur is the way to go. But the truth of the matter is, if you take a look at the Good Old Boys Club and you see the success that, and when I say success, success looks like different things for different people. But if we want to break it down to brass tacks and say that, oh, you know, I want to be able to, you know, have different genres or revenue centers and things of that nature. We need to get together and open up businesses collectively. So instead of having 100% of the profit, which brings in 100,000% of headache, you know, look at it a different way and say, hey, you know, we're smart. We love cooking. We love food. We love putting smiles on people's faces. Could you imagine if we got together like the boys did and we, you know, looked at different locations and different concepts and concepts that we know will work for women and families? And
well, it comes down to women having more money and investing in female-led businesses,
yes.
right? Were there any pieces of advice we didn't cover? I mean, I'm sure you see a lot of small restaurants out there and you think to yourself, oh, I wish they were just doing this, or maybe they should consider that. Is there anything else you can think of?
I will say that it's really important to know what you're selling and to just be clear and not allow trends to dictate that. And you also need to understand the neighborhood that you're in, because those are the people that are going to keep you in business, especially if you're a place that may have certain notoriety or maybe you get a lot of traffic from people outside of the community. You know, you want to make sure that you have those regulars that you treat really, really well, and you listen to them, because that's who has made you who you are, and that's who's going to be with you when it's snowy or for whatever reason you don't have an influx of folks traveling from different places. And yeah, that's my big tip. And rock your baby, as my grandmother would say. You have to rock your baby. Don't let anybody else rock your baby.
Wait, what does that mean?
That means you have to stay in your business. You have to be there. You literally have to be there. You have to know what's going on. You can't, like, you wouldn't leave your child with a stranger. And people leave their businesses.
I always wonder how these folks open, like, dozens of locations around the world.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, you have to be present, because no one is going to rock your baby the way you rock your baby. And I'm thankful that in my generation, there's 18. In the generation after me, there's probably 7. And we're already into that fourth generation. If you go to Sylvia's, there's going to be at least a minimum of 2 generations in the business that are there. And that's going to be on any given time.
So the baby gets a lot of rocking.
The baby gets a lot. Yeah, and passed around.
So you gave us a few hints as to some new projects. You'd love to do another cookbook. You're going to be tweaking some of the product that you offer.
Yes.
Anything else on the horizon you can talk about?
Yes. So I'm launching this new series called Cornbread and Conversations. So I started Cornbread and Conversations after my grandmother passed away in 2012, just as an opportunity to tell the stories of people in my community that have been trailblazers. And, you know, my dad, he really wanted it to be more of like a lecture series. And I wanted it to be more of a dining experience. you know, like, oh, wouldn't it be lovely if we just decorated the table this way and had this conversation that was a little bit more loose? So for February, I'm launching the new Cornbread and Conversations for the new decade, which will allow different artists, whether they're performance artists, you know, wonderful authors. We have great authors to just come to the house that Sylvia built, which is our corner location. Sylvia's also. And you'll get to meet different authors, award-winning authors, or an artist, you know, different visual and painter sculptors, mixed in with performance artists and actors and actresses.
Sounds wonderful.
Yeah.
How can you buy tickets?
Well, they can follow the restaurant. I'll be giving an update the first of the year. And so that's what I'm really excited about. These cultural experiences, you know, very intimate. So definitely look out for the tickets, because I think I want to limit it to 50, because I want the conversation to be had around the table. And just, you know, folks to walk away with like, wow, that was beautiful. That was beautiful.
Oh, it sounds great. Okay, so you're going to have Cornbread and Conversations.
Mm-hmm.
So people can visit, maybe if they get it, if they're lucky enough to get a ticket to that.
Yes.
But for everybody else, if they just want to visit Sylvia's.
If they just want to visit Sylvia's, they can come any day.
You don't take reservations.
We don't take reservations unless you're like 10 or more. But I believe online, like now we're a little bit more flexible. We're a little bit more flexible, so you might be able to get a reservation during the week at different times. We're open all day. We close at 10:30 at night. The only day that we're closed is Christmas Day. So you can eat with us all the time. You can get our faves. Anytime, like, after 11 o'clock in the morning, you know, you can come in, or, like, our breakfast is really great. So just, like, walk in, or you can go online and make a reservation, but a reservation is not required.
What are some dishes you absolutely can't miss?
Ooh.
Especially if it's your first visit.
If it's your first visit, then you have to have fried chicken. And you can do a chicken and rib combo. So that covers that. And you have to have collard greens, because you need to eat your vegetables. So you can have collard greens. Cornbread comes with every meal, complimentary. So that's like, you know, it's like dessert before.
You have a lot of good sides.
Yeah, lots of good sides.
I'm a mac and cheese girl, and you
are
have mac and cheese.
Mm-hmm. Yes, but, you know, my favorite dish is smothered pork chops. I really like smothered pork chops a lot. So brown gravy, onions, bell peppers. That pork chop's been seasoned, fried, loved on, and then doused in gravy and stewed. And it just, you can break it with your fork, lima beans, rice, potato salad. Our potato salad is so good.
I'm so hungry right now.
Now I'm hungry.
You also have a good dessert menu.
We do. We have our world-famous peach cobbler, which is really yummy. And it's cute, because people come in and when they order it, especially like if you're in the know, you know, you're like, oh, can I have extra crust? You know, they want that extra crust. And the same with the
banana
pudding.
And you can ask for that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but the regular is like, they're like, oh, you know what? I want more crust than peaches. And some people want more peaches than crust. And banana pudding, like, we have a family that literally, they're into the third generation that's been eating with us. Shout out to Whitney. When she comes in to get banana pudding, she's like, oh, can I get extra cookies? So literally, it's like, you know, someone will have to go in the back and find the cookies and crumble up the cookies and put it in. But that's just what they like, you know?
That's called customer service, people, and that's how you stay in business for 57 years. Exactly.
Yeah.
All right, everybody, you know what you need to do in the new year.
Yes.
Get up to Sylvia's. That's it for this episode of Follow the Leader. Thank you to Janez Woods Black of Sylvia's Restaurant for sharing her story and her family's story with all of us. And thank you to Uber Eats for supporting this Radio Cherry Bomb miniseries. Make sure to catch the other Follow the Leader episodes. We talk finance matters with Umber Ahmed of Mazidar Bakery, creating a culture with Diana Daohuang of Blackseed Bagels, and expanding your business with Amelie Kang of Mala Project. Follow the Leader was produced and edited by Jess Seidman of Cherry Bomb and recorded at CDM Sound Studios and Argo Studios in New York City. Thanks for listening, everybody. You're the bomb.